something refreshing.
Victoria?
Follow-up question to that then. Even though there doesn't necessarily need to be a person sifting through those to see it, there still has to be some kind of like adding this on to something else, then it sounds like. And so if this attestation is going to go on to what they're already signing, would that be like the campus codes that they're agreeing to? Like where would it go and who would have to add it? And then also make sure that it's up to date. Because Aqualtrics, of course, is you do it, but then like would it be housed under the university assembly and it would be something that the students are agreeing to doing here? Like just tangibility.
Yeah, I would say this would be something that is tabulated institutionally like everything else. You know, this would be, I don't know if it would be in the registrar's office or what, but like I would just imagine, I mean, the diligence in that point is just so that that acknowledgement is present, you know, so that somebody could refer to it, you know, hey, this is what we stand for and you saw that. So it's not like out of the blue that like this is how we want to behave. I'm hopeful that it will be not onerous in any particular way, because if it becomes what everybody does, like none of us go back and make sure that we attested to something when we first showed up on campus. Hopefully, we don't have to, but that's my thought.
Have a quick, just real quickly, Wendy and then Suzanne.
So, to Victoria's point just now, our core values are literally in the student code of conduct. They're right on the very first page. So perhaps the attestation or acknowledgement or whatever it is on the student code of conduct, because I'm guessing that prospective students are provided this information upon enrollment, or hey, you've been accepted, and by the way, here's some light reading material for you before you set foot on campus. That kind of like, would that make sense? Or again, I mean, that's something to be hashed out by the appropriate office, but that would be a suggestion, is that the attestation or acknowledgement is right there on the student code of conduct.
Thank you for that suggestion. And then Suzanne.
And I was just going to say, it's similar to an observation in that the way this is written, I read it, is that the application process that this occurs, it says for prospective students as a condition for even enrolling in the university. So it seems like it was embedded in the application process itself. So, you know, I don't know what it takes to do that, but it seems like that's the place, is you let them know. This is where you're coming, and this is what you're going to stand for if you come here. It's a part of the condition of saying, yeah, I agree to this, and I'm going to go ahead and apply,
Fair point.
as I understood it.
Victoria?
I agree. I think the only thing that I'm thinking maybe could be added in as another, like, be it therefore resolved, would be where it goes is all. So I think that'll just make sure that it's not only that they create it, but they do something with it and it has a tangible action to move forward. If it is in the application, that would maybe be great because then it's away from the student code of conduct, which is its own kind of thing right now. But regardless, if it's before enrollment, I think maybe considering having that line of like, this is where we think you should put it, and then leaving it open-ended so that they do it rather than saying, this is specifically where it needs to be, you know? So it's not too vague, but it's on the nose enough.
The suggestion.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then David?
And just I think these are very, very helpful. I think clarifying where it goes makes a lot of sense, and then leaving it to sort of the proper officers who know what that admissions. I have no idea what it looks like to be on board of this. I barely know what it looks like to be on board of this faculty. That leaving it to them to work out that out sounds right. One just sort of thing that we wanted to highlight, that I think I'd like to highlight, is that this is pretty, I mean, it's pretty light touch, right? It's not like you need to sign on to every single thing here forever and ever. It's an acknowledgement that you've had.
This is institutional level. People have to acknowledge it, but that doesn't mean that they're saying that I, you know, you catch me doing one of these things in a side hallway on a Thursday and I'm out of the university or something. Like,
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I think I also would like to add that there was something that you mentioned, Jonathan, that I think was relevant because, and then Suzanne brought up with it talking about prospective students versus now students that are admitted, right? And having that initial orientation process of all these things. And so perhaps addressing it both ways. So for both prospective students and for students that are now
My
accepted, right? Potentially is something that you could add that is still light touch, but addressing both people that want to be here and people that are admitted in.
so my goal was agency,
Right.
meaning before you choose,
You know what
this
you're
is
doing.
our thing,
Right.
as opposed to you got here and now here's a bunch of rules.
Okay.
So that's why I was thinking, just like, but I think it was the faculty and staff, it's like, before you sign, here's a statement of,
I like that. Thank you. That's what we stand for, right?
Right.
So that they're making a conscious choice to buy into those.
Sure. Okay. Any other comments regarding Resolution 3? Thank you.
Sorry, ours, this was the big one, so hopefully you can handle it.
Okay. Seeing that there is none, we can go ahead and move on to Resolution 4, University Assembly Authority to appoint members to governance committees. I see that the sponsor is Jonathan. He has to go ahead and head out. So David, if you could kind of reintroduce us and talk about whatever edits were made.
Yeah, so this resolution sort of was trying to avoid a situation in which university sets up a committee, it has faculty, student, staff, and they have, in one way or another, selected the faculty, student, staff that compose it. And it would be to try to do what is often and usually practiced already, but also to sort of make it a bit more strict, was to make sure that the university assembly and other assemblies are able to designate the people that they want on those committees, if possible. And if we fail to do so, the university has every right to just go ahead and name someone. Where it has been amended has been in response to the feedback we got in January, was to broaden the assignment. So it's not just the UA making the assignation, right? So it's all of the appropriate committees or the appropriate assemblies make the determination of who are going to be the faculty comes from the faculty senate, as in all of the faculty on that committee are going to be chosen by the faculty senate. All of the students on that committee will be chosen by the relevant student assembly, and so on. The UA's role in this would be also that if one of those assemblies does not do it, then the UA gets to do it for that assembly from the relevant constituency. What else? We also shorten the period of time. So on line 53, if further resolved, the university assembly shall receive requests from the university for UA constituent committee membership no less than 30 days before said committee is intended to convene to give time for the consideration of appointment requests and approval. It happened 60 days, we made it 30 days. 60 days is quite can be quite a long time if you're trying to set one of these things up, and 30 days fits within our usual meeting sequence.
Thank you. Any comments regarding this resolution? Yes, Andrew?
So it is 60 days now, and you're proposing to have it be 30, because I'm looking at line 52 with 60.
I'm 52 to 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. On
Yeah.
the handout, line 54 says no less than 30 days.
Oh, okay. This is,
Okay.
oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So wherever it says 60, if you have a version that says 60, it should say 30.
Okay. That's what here, because I'm looking at
My apologies.
Boxford. Boxford.
Gotcha.
Great catch. Thank you. Victoria?
So just a question though on the process. 3+ days notice, the university picks and sends us a list. And then we want to swap things out. Like when you said a second ago that the students who are selected should be coming from student assembly, if that is not corresponding with the list that we're provided, would we be like changing people, or are we just saying that we want to have a part of the process when they select their people in general?
So, when the university decides they want a committee, they approach the university assembly. For university assembly membership, university assembly can then designate people it wants on it. I don't actually think we specify that they should also approach the other assemblies at the same time in the same way, and that they should be limited to just the people selected by those other assemblies. I think they would, that would, from the point that they approach us, there's 30 days. And if we fail to do anything in 30 days, they get a cheese. That would be sort of a logic, right? It would sort of force us to act. Does that clarify?
Almost. Like, the timeline makes sense, yeah. But then let's say they've said they want to make this committee, and they've given us a list of these people, and we're looking at the list. What would we would be switching people out then, in a way, like, if we were trying to make a change in it? Like, they say, oh, we want Irene, and we're like, actually, no, we want this person instead. Is that what we would be doing?
No, I'm not thinking that they would come up with a list and give us that list. I'm thinking that they would come to us and say, we would like three people from each constituency to compose this committee.
And then if we don't do anything.
And if they don't do anything,
sadness.
They will come up with the names themselves or through the existing processes.
I think what's a helpful point of reference is kind of what I solicited earlier in this meeting for the hearing board, mm-hmm. right? Where I said, these are the vacancies and I need aid in filling up these vacancies. And it is our duty within our, to now help in that endeavor. Right, exactly.
Okay.
And so I think a similar sort of system would be happening here. And again, similar to, if we don't get it by April 1st, they're going to figure it out, right? And it's just out of our hands.
Okay, it's like a period of time where it's in our hands. Is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so it's sort of intended to be a type of they ask us, and if we each respect each other, if they respect us, they will ask us, and if we respect them and ourselves, we will do it.
Right.
And if we fail at that, well.
It's a follow-up question. You had indicated you're going to go back to the respective assemblies to get them, and if not, then the UA will appoint that. Not talking about going back to the other. What is the time frame? Is that another 30 days?
I would think that'd be within the 30 days.
Within that same 30 days.
Yeah. So the vision, okay. This, and you're right. That if we need a gap between that.
There should be another 30 days, probably within that, because again, that's not going to happen.
That's totally right.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right on. I hear you. Okay.
Very, very helpful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Any other great points, comments?
And I have just a question. Yes, we're not assuming that those people have to come to assemblies, but the assembly's collective wisdom would be who in the community would be appropriate.
I think that's right.
There's plenty of people here that do not sit on faculty senate, believe, right, but are a part of this
body. And would faculty senate be one of the constituency soliciting from?
Okay. And they have a nominations committee that presumably in most instances, I believe, serves that role. I don't know if it serves it for every committee or how institutionalized that is. But the basic theme should be, basic principle should be, if they want faculty to be on a committee that's making university policy, the faculty senate should choose those through whatever committees it delegates. And similarly with us. And so this is primarily focused on us, but the spirit is to encourage it for all the assemblies. Yeah.
And then for people, you could just make sure we speak up for those online. For those that may have missed it, Andrew made a really great point about if we're going to be having that 30-day timeline to get a membership, right? And then we, as the UA, and we're trying to solicit certain members from each assembly, say GPSA, Student Assembly, Faculty Senate. What is the timeline that we're giving them included within this 30 days, right? And so we've sent that over to David, and David said that he's going to consider that. That might be an additional 30 days now for them, and then now coming back to us if they can't get membership, so that we, within our networks, get membership for that. And then, Suzanne, you kind of echoed that sentiment alongside.
And said they don't need to be in the UA.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I hope that catches us all up to speed. Is there any other questions regarding? Yes, Jason.
So it's more of a vibe, and I apologize, it's not more well thought out, but the be it therefore resolved on 45, I think the point that therefore resolved clause is saying, being like, hey, if you're going to make a committee, get us involved. But I don't know how to feel about the, whether independently or via one of its constituent assemblies. Is the plan, or at least the purpose of that sentiment, saying the university assembly, as a fact that it composes all assemblies, if the university reaches out to, as stated, the GPSA for five people on a committee, that is in effect reaching out to the university assembly? Or is that a distinct communication being like, hey, UA, we're asking the GPSA for this? I don't know what the, whether the words stated reflect that, or if there would be a better wording. I don't.
No, that's very helpful. I will clarify that.
Thank you. And then we have Eve online.
Hi, everyone. Currently, David is correct that if such a committee is needed at the university level, they'll come to the office of the Dean of Faculty and we'll use our nominations and elections committee to get to put forward names. So I'm hoping that this resolution is saying above and beyond what they currently do, we'd like to also add the UA as a possible source for committee membership.
Yeah, that's entirely right. We see this as, and I'll include the language of above and beyond what we currently do, or something to that effect. That's mm-hmm. right. We do not want to undercut the existing representation that we have.
Thank you for that. And Wendy,
you're not? Just a point of clarification. I know I mentioned it before, the employee assembly did pass a resolution about staff representation on university-wide committees, initiatives, task force. So it does kind of tie into that, but I do like that the, where is it? Line 49, that be it further resolved that the university shall consent to proposed members of its constituent assemblies for participation. So it's kind of even reinforcing what the employee assembly already passed in a resolution has been sent to President Kolakoff of having staff representation, you know, working with the assembly, you know, the employee assembly for staff representation.
Thank you for that.
One quick question, would it be make sense to have within the resolutions a line that says something along the lines that this is in spirit and in the same spirit as the resolution passed by the university, by the employee assembly? Great.
Awesome. Any other comments regarding resolution 4? Thank you everyone for such a fruitful discussion. Let's go ahead and move on to resolution 5, single use plastic phase out. This is sponsored by Amira. You could just give us, you know, this is not a reintro, this is the intro. So if you gave us a rundown of this resolution and what you want us to take from.
Yeah, so basically this is about like just elimination of single use plastics, you know, over 5 years. Professor Levine is on Zoom, who helped write this resolution. I'm gonna let her kind of present it, if that's okay, to talk over it, and then happy to take questions.
Okay, so you're offering your floor to?
Yes.
Okay, so Professor, you're acknowledged, please speak on behalf.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. My name is Caroline Levine. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Literatures and English. I'm part of a group of faculty, students, and staff who call ourselves Plastic Free Cornell. And we're introducing a resolution to phase out single-use plastics. So those are plastics intended to be used just once and thrown away. There's lots of evidence that microplastics and plastic pollution are dangerous to people, animals, ecosystems, and also to minoritized communities, which suffer most from plastic pollution. A lot of people think that recycling is a solution. It really isn't. 90% of plastics are never recycled, and that includes here at Cornell, but also everywhere. And you might not know that plastic water bottles are especially troubling. Up to 400,000 plastic water bottles are sold every year at Cornell. And our tap water is very clean. It's actually safer than all bottled water. So there's really no reason why we should be buying bottled water. Right now, Cornell is lagging behind a lot of other colleges that have phased out single-use plastics, including UVA, the University of California system, the University of Vermont, University of Colorado Boulder, and most importantly for our purposes, SUNY. So the SUNY system is in the process of phasing out plastics, and Cornell could opt into that, but hasn't. We have gotten a lot of enthusiastic responses from students and faculty. We did visit the employee assembly and talked in some detail about some of the concerns that employees, of course, are on the front lines of a phase out like this, and so have to think about costs and replacements and waste. And we are doing as much research as we can to try to figure out what kinds of costs and what kinds of labor additions this would entail. But from what we understand from our friends just down the road at SUNY Cortland, they're already seeing savings and reductions in waste. So that, in fact, it's not increasing costs. Now, of course, any plan like this has to have exclusions because there are some single-use plastics for health and for research that can't be replaced. And certainly, sometimes it's prohibitively expensive, but we're imagining what is really a cultural shift, and that's what you can see at the other universities that have done this, where people get really used to bringing their own mugs, their own water bottles, and they are not reliant on plastic. So one of the ways in which it saves money is dining, for example, spends a lot of money on single-use plastics that people, get a drink, drink it with a straw quickly and a cap, and then throw it away, thinking that it will be recycled, and it may well not be. And if people are used to bringing their own containers instead, as they do in all kinds of places in the world, including if you've ever gone to a university in Stockholm or in the Netherlands, right? This is just part of daily life. So we would really appreciate it if the UA would consider this resolution. We're really open to meeting with anyone, talking to people about your concerns. But we do think it's in line with Cornell's core principles of protecting the environment and protecting the health and well-being of our community and also communities around the world. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any questions, Andrew?
I think it would be really helpful and within this to maybe have a link to or describe what single-use plastics are and sort of the range of that. I don't, I is it?
There's an appendix.
Oh, in the appendix. Because I'm looking at the resolution itself. There's quite a few.
Yeah, we have a couple of appendices in process, and one of them is the definitions and where single-use plastics are mostly found. There's a lot of let us just call them lies perpetrated by the plastics industry, and it's actually purposefully confusing what are single-use plastics and what are compost. There's things labels for things that are called compostable that are not because they have plastics in them. So it's really important to get the definition straight. But luckily, SUNY has been doing a great job on this already. And so they've given us a lot of that kind of stuff to work with. And we've also laid out a prospective 5-year plan, which is borrowed in part from the SUNY model, but keyed to Cornell's particular policies. So we're happy to share that with the UA.
Thank you. I saw Wendy and followed by.
Hi, thank you for presenting this. Caroline, I have a question, or just for clarification. You said that you came to an employee assembly meeting. Was it a committee meeting?
Committee.
Because I,
Yes, sorry.
okay, I just
Committee.
for clarification, and if we
Sorry.
can make sure
Yeah.
that that's clear in the minutes, because I know that as EA chair this year, I know that you
Couldn't
weren't one of
have.
our guest speakers at one of our meetings. I'm also going to kind of put him on the spot because I see he's on the call as well, Brandon Fortenberry, who's with Cornell Dining. I'm just wondering, with this proposed resolution of, let's reduce it. And I think it's great, by the way, to reduce the single-use plastics. How will we enforce that? Because it's going to need to be pretty much like a campus-wide initiative or marketing something of, hey, bring your silverware, bring your mug instead of getting a cup, that sort of thing. But how do we envision like enforcing that? Because some people just they. It's also a culture change or something, because some people might be like, yep, I'm just going to throw it in the trash and not in the recycling or not in the composting, whatever it might be. So I'm just wondering. I don't know if Brandon can speak to that a little bit on the dining side. Sorry, Brandon, to give call you out, but I'm just curious about that.
Thanks, Wendy. Yeah, I'm really just here to listen. I saw actually a lot of things that I have interacted with from the Codes and Judicial Committee from my past experience in UA and EA, and then the plastics piece. In meeting with Caroline on the Welfare Committee meeting that she did, I shared some of the concerns. I think I echo what she stated there, that it really is a cultural shift, and not necessarily and without a doubt, not entirely a dining shift, because it's, you know, a lot of folks look at this as a dining challenge to solve, and it's really a cultural shift. So I think, you know, you've addressed that item clearly, and what would be our perspective on it as well.
Did you have a, go ahead.
Could I follow that up real quick? Would that be
Yes,
okay?
you may.
Thank you. Just to say that the culture change, one of the reasons we're a fan of phasing out the single-use plastics is that from what we can tell from the studies that have been done elsewhere, that is the most effective way to produce the culture change. So people do change really fast once there's no single-use plastics for them, then they get really used to bringing their own quite quickly.
Thank you. Oh, yes,
Yeah,
Jacob.
I would like to make a motion to extend the meeting just preemptively by 10 minutes.
By 10 minutes. Okay. Do we have a second? Second. Okay. Any who oppose? Okay. Seeing that there is none, our meeting is extended by 10 minutes, and we will call it for 6:25. Thank you for that, Jason. Catching up. Any other comments, concerns about this resolution? Yes, Andy?
I looked through the definition and what it is. I think it would be better, it would be more complete to give more of a running list of what we're talking about with single-use plastics. You talk about it being limited to common products. Maybe a little bit more information about what is included in that. And because even looking through, it's not entirely clear to me.
Right.
Thank you. Anything else, Brett?
Kind of jumping off of Wendy's question about like how we're going to enforce this, double part question. Number one is at least for example at the Bigard Barn, we are like a single-use plastic haven, and we're trying to do our best to do like reuse cup programs and things like that. So we purchase through like a third party vendor that the university approves. So to continue this like idea of getting rid of single use plastics, would the vendor list kind of come into question on like where we can purchase and what we can purchase? And would that be kind of trickling in unit by unit, or would it be larger?
Yeah, so our understanding from other universities is that yes, the vending, purchasing, procurement, those are all places where the policy goes into effect, and it goes into effect with the easiest ones first. That is, for example, the Pepsi, I don't know if this is the easiest one at Cornell, but University of Colorado Boulder renegotiated their contract with Pepsi such that they're cans instead of plastic bottles. And so figuring out what the, you know, what's possible to do in the first year, but then gradually it covers all vending and all purchasing. And we have this rollout that looks at the different policies and where and how they would be changed and how exceptions might be included. So I will send that to the UA so that you can look at that. It wouldn't be binding. That part is not part of the resolution, but it would give you an idea of how it might roll out.
And then my second question was about the recycling process. So again, using my job as an example, our dumpster picks up both our trash and our recycling and puts it into one truck. And I don't know what happens with it after that. I can assume that maybe Ithaca is doing its due diligence of like separating, but we are huge to single-use plastic, and then it's all going to the same place no matter what we do. And so I'm wondering if like the recycling process itself is something that you guys are hoping to touch on, or if it's just the single-use plastic itself.
I can't say this enough, and I'm happy to back it up with citations, but recycling is essentially a scam. It's been sold to us as though it works, and it really never has. So for a period, China was buying US plastics, and that was in fact reusing some US plastics, but never more than 9%. So it's much better to reduce plastic use than it is to try to focus on recycling or even on composting. That is to say, our food composting is fantastic and dining is doing an amazing job of that. But when you try to do composting of utensils and that kind of thing, it runs into some of the same kind of scamming language. So we've all been persuaded that recycling is a solution. It is, in fact, a distraction.
Okay. Thank you for telling me. I love to learn. That was great.
Happy to send you lots of citations. It's very upsetting, I find, and so do my students.
Right. Any other comments? Yes, Christian, you have a comment?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, a couple things. Well, this has been going through, I guess, several of the assemblies, as you heard. Is that the third encounter now for student assembly? We did at least pass it at least once. I think it's a great resolution. And yeah, I'm also a little disillusioned with the whole, you know, recycling plastics thing because I know that at Cornell we're not good at that. We're especially not good at that. Yeah, I was just wondering if I don't know. I see the basically it's almost essentially the same resolution for the student assembly, but it's exactly the same resolution we had in the student assembly. I just thought we had authored by Plastic Free Cornell. I mean, if I'm aware, we have the group did a lot of writing for this. I mean, hell, I wrote some of this on the environmental committee for the student assembly as well. I was curious if we just add Plastic Free Cornell so they can get some
Sure.
recognition for putting through the multiple assemblies and all that. So.
Sure, definitely.
Okay, absolutely. So just for a point of clarification, you're saying for who is the correctly submitted, who wrote this, acknowledging all the members that actually wrote this
Oh, I
resolution?
mean, not necessarily, but just like the group, the whole. I don't know. At least in the assembly, we just put like
Plastic Cornell?
we Plastic Free Cornell and like the committee, or environmental committee chair that's on there as well. Yeah.
It's a sport, Plastic Free Cornell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, is it a class or something? I don't know.
It's connected to a class, but it's also an organization.
Yeah.
And I know, thank you so much for helping with the student assembly resolution because it made
Yeah.
it much better for everybody. So thank you for that.
Oh yeah, they're all su super super nice, super nice people, and
So
I don't
just
know.
for clarification, right? Because acknowledging that a large group wrote this, right? You're saying they sponsored and at the end wrote, so in the respectfully submitted, or what part of this resolution are you suggesting that they're added?
I would interview this community.
I looked at the charter just now, and I didn't see any explicit thing that
We
says
can
that you can or
hear
can't. So
respectfully submitted.
I was just gonna put it in the sponsor, but I don't really know,
Or
and
the
we don't
wow.
really have the like, standard language, but at least in the assembly. So
And it come what
I don't wait.
to
Look, it's not a huge deal.
Right, so it's a bit vague. So I think perhaps it's because, Amira,
But yeah, I just don't think there's any
you
explicit thing that says we can't do it. So.
and so I think talking to Christian to see how those parties that made this resolution could be recognized in the formal output of that would be very helpful. Any other comments regarding this resolution? Okay.
I will very quickly state, I just want to highlight the be it therefore resolved clause on line 70, specifically with the last sentence. I think that would have been the biggest issue that a lot of graduate, especially researchers, would have with this resolution is the limited exceptions for health, safety, and research. Pipettes are a massive contributor of single-use plastics. And while I don't enjoy it, that is a effective requirement for a lot of the very sterile work that we do. And so having that exception, I think, is really important. And I just wanted to emphasize that.
Thank you. With no more comments, on this resolution, we can go ahead and move on to our assembly report. Thank you so much for your time. First, we have student assembly.
We had a busy few weeks. I would assume there's been maybe 50 resolutions since the last time I was here making this report at least. I to convey them all up today, where that's so everything from internal funding and disbursement to Cornell Tech to what I'm conveying right now is a printing cap for class, which actually quite relevant to University Assembly, is that some undergraduate students are in some classes that require very high volume of printed materials, and it outpaces their actual printing allocation, whereas other students may never print anything for class in their tenure at Cornell, so encouraging more camp available printing materials for short readings. And then in terms of actual internal discussions, our student activity fee, we proposed a new student activity allocation, which we'll be voting on this week. We'll also be voting on interviewing our first round for our new director of the Office of Ethics this week, and hopefully confirming someone next week.
Thank you. Any questions for yesterday?
Will the proposed student activity fee be higher or lower than it currently is? Or
it is the exact same.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Was that two options?
Could
be a third one. As mandated.
Last letter.
Any other questions for the student assembly? Seeing that there is none, we can go ahead and move on to graduate professional student assembly.
Hello, I am all by my lonesome with Irene here, of course, always repping, but we had a very brief and actually quite enjoyable meeting. We had two major points of business. The first was we had a position for the barn manager position. So for those of you who don't know, the Big Red Barn, really cool, preferentially provides activities for graduate production students and other organizations. But a lot of the people here, Victoria being one of them, is tasked with managing a lot while the current manager is out. The current manager is now officially out, and so they're now looking for a new one. So graduate professional students are now on the committee, Xander and Malte, to help interview some candidates. And hopefully we'll get some really cool candidates. And that will be happening in the next 2 months, if I recall correctly, with the hope of having someone in the role by June, if I recall correctly. But yeah, any clarifications on that, just in case I was misremembering?
No, that's correct.
Very good. And then finally, the thing I'll highlight is that the special grants initiative was a rousing success. We passed all the resolutions. They were accepted by the president, and Jessica has been doing an incredible job in the back end dealing with all of our nonsense of the allocations. And so along with the appropriations committee, we are working on getting disbursements out as we can.
Thank you.
That's all.
So appreciate that. Before I ask for any questions, would anyone like to motion revolving time? Yes.
I move that we extend the meeting by 5 minutes.
By 5 minutes? Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Any opposed and believes that we need perhaps more than 5 minutes?
we can do it.
Okay. All right. We have now extended our meeting to 6:30. Thank you. Any questions for graduate professional student assembly?
I had a quick question, and that was, are the students managing this as paid employees or volunteers?
Volunteers.
Yeah. Volunteers.
Yes. It's like a search committee. That helps.
But they're not managing the facility itself.
No. Correct. At least for the statement that I provided, there are many fellows that are doing work at the barn, irrespective of this search.
Thank you. Any other questions? If none, we can go ahead and move on to employee assembly.
That would be me. So on March 4th, President Kolakoff and Interim VP and CHRO Sean Moeller visited the assembly. Instead of submitting only a couple of pre-submitted questions, we categorized 62 or so unanswered questions from the January president's address to staff, and I sent them along to them. I think President Kolakoff was a little caught off guard by it, but hey, we wanted some answers, and so he actually did respond to a lot of the concerns and questions that were submitted, and we're going to continue to work with senior leadership on some of the unanswered, still outstanding questions. Our meeting tomorrow, we will have the Director of Faculty and Staff Assistance Program visit to give a presentation on some well-being, mental health resources available to staff. We also have Marin Clarkberg and Steve Jackson from Institutional Research Planning coming to give a brief blurb about the accreditation process for the university. What else? We had two incidental vacancies that we filled. One was for the health and safety representative, and the other was for the Black, Indigenous, and person of color representative. Our elections, the registration period ended this past Friday, so the mandatory candidate session, information session, was held today. And so all eligible candidates are now campaigning. That'll be done, I think, around the end of March, and then voting will open, and we'll have our newly elected employee assembly members for our vacant seats by mid-April. We'll have our organizational meeting on April 15th, and at that time, we will be appointing our 26-27 Employee Assembly Executive Committee. And I think I got everything. That's it.
Thank you, Wendy. Any questions for Employee Assembly?
Oh, wait, I have one more thing. Noted in the faculty and staff news from last Wednesday, under the Resilient Cornell highlighted box, it was announced that there will be a limited voluntary retirement incentive. The full program details will be sent out next Monday, the 23rd, and eligible individuals that meet the criteria for the incentive will be contacted directly.
Thank you for that update. There's still no questions. We can go ahead and move on to Faculty Senate.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to keep it really brief. We had the President and Provost attend on our March 11th meeting, and also Kyle Kimball, our VP of Communications, introduced himself. We had two resolutions, one on revising the procedures of Policy 6.4 and the mandate to produce an annual report on academic freedom came to the Senate, and we also had Professor Levine come and, in the good of the order, present the single-use plastics phase-out. And that's everything.
Thank you. Any questions for Faculty Senate? If there are none, we can go ahead and move on to our committee reports. First, the Executive Committee.
I don't think we have anything other than we're scheduled to the end of the term.
Awesome. Any questions for Executive Committee? Seeing that there is none, we can go ahead and move on to Campus Codes Committee. Jonathan is not here. David, any updates apart from?
We met. It was not well attended, but we met, and we did some revising, and we spent a lot of time talking about it.
Thank you. I'm sure any questions you have, you can shoot over based off those resolutions. Next, we have Campus Welfare Committee. Jason?
Yep. Hello, hello. We're having a meeting at the end of the month with the intent to put together a resolution addressing Todd Bittner's concerns for the campus codes revision. And so that's what we'll be doing. And we'll hopefully put that forth as a resolution for the meeting afterwards.
Awesome. Thank you. Any questions? Oh, yes, Jessica.
You lost quorum.
I lost quorum?
Yeah.
Sadness.
You can finish up, but I would...
Thank you for letting me know. There's no way we can vote for extended time. We gotta really wrap it up. Okay, so for site.
No report.
No report.
The
awesome.
Only thing I will add to site is I put a couple of comments in there about the resolution, determination of sinks that allow for washing things, like the one at Clarman Hall where it's quite used, needs to be expanded if we're asking people to bring in. And if we're asking people to use reusable things, we need to think about the washing aspect.
aspects of that designated areas. So farm and sink is a perfect example if you want to look at that.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Next, we have liaison reports. Anything for Campus Planning Committee, Wendy?
Next meeting is Friday, March 27th. I'll have more information after that.
Thank you. Next, we have the Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention. I think Ellen is no longer on the call, so we can move on. We have Sustainable Cornell. That's also Victoria. She gave a brief update that all of her committees are meeting next month. Ishan is off the call, but so we can't go through that either. We have no late additions to the agenda. And there's no time for open forum. So, if anyone has a motion, yes.
Okay,
hey, can I get a second?
All right, thank you.
Thank you all.